Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Thank you so much for coming and spending this time with us. Today's devotion is titled Discernment's Double Trouble. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This is found in 1 Kings 3:9. Some people have a great sense of intuition. Their instincts for business, trends, or danger are spot on. In contrast, discernment is the ability to grasp and comprehend what is obscure, to choose between right and wrong. Godly discernment can only come from God. We are not born with spiritual discernment. We are born again into it. But if you pray for God to give you a discerning heart, know that your greatest weakness will stand right beside your greatest spiritual gift. Alongside the gift of discernment is the temptation to judge others based on what you know about them. Yet God does not call us to judge, but to pray and intercede and to love. Faith check. King Solomon was gifted with godly wisdom and was given authority to judge his people. For many years he judged rightly, but for some reason he could not discern between good and evil in his own life. Wisdom and discernment won't do us or anyone else any good if we cannot apply them to our own lives as well. And today's saying is written on a piece of paper that looks like paneling. It says, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. And this is so true. We have many prayer requests. You know, we are living in a hurting world. And I think if we have nothing else better to do than to pray for one another, we will have done what God has called us to do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I hold up to you today all of the prayer requests that are for you and the power that comes from our minds connecting with your mind towards others. This helps us so much, Lord, to love one another, to be patient, kind, and long-suffering. I pray for a young mother whose own mother was just rushed to the hospital with breathing problems. And I pray for a son that they found a tumor on him, and they're just so worried about that. And I pray for a family that's suffering financial problems and just don't even know where the next meal is going to come from. And I continue to pray for those that are lonely, very isolating, to not have a partner and not really know where you fit in socially. Just comfort them and be a partner to them. Lord, come quickly. We pray for that. We look so forward to your coming. Help our hearts to be right and help those that we love to be ready for your soon coming too. We pray for our nation and the leaders and the decisions that they're making on our behalf. I thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given to us. And we close this time asking that your Holy Spirit take our words and make them your words. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Our arts and crafts today, we're going to continue discussing sculpture, and we're working with paper sculpture. And we talked last time about all the different techniques. I hope you've had a chance to make a poster board with all the different techniques and what they're called, so that as your students begin using them, they will speak the language of the paper sculpting. And then you may start actually branching out, saying that you want to see your students use three of the techniques or two of the techniques or four of the techniques and create something. Or you might just say, here are the techniques and now here is the paper. You'll end up with a lot of paper scraps and a lot of waste if you don't limit and say, here are three sheets of paper. I often take a full piece of paper, cut them in half, and then give each student a half a piece of paper. And then as they want more and I see that they actually have a plan and they're using a certain color, I give them more. But to start out, when they're just figuring out what are they going to do and they're experimenting with the different types of techniques here, they might be curling some and they might be making a fringe out of others. You know, I let them just play around. It's always good though to at some point ask them to give you a plan of what they're going to do so that they have a plan of what they're going to do. It really minimizes the waste and it's a good habit to form. Let's have a plan. And then this ties back to if you're going to have them make you something like a special card or something for your birthday or Mother's Day or Father's Day, they have these techniques that they can really be creative with. And you can create a scrap drawer that they're free to get their paper from any time. They can use any of that scrap paper. Just taking it, you want to discourage them from taking one big sheet of paper and cutting a hole out of the middle of it and then it's no good. So those are some of the techniques that you have to work on. Arts and crafts is a very messy subject and that's part of the beauty of it. You're waxing creative, but that's the downside too. Curriculum Corner, and we're discussing what a seventh grader really should master in order to be comfortable when they go into eighth grade. Eighth grade kind of culminates really their elementary and middle school experience, and now they're going to high school. You have less input into their education. You want them to be inputting more into their education and being the master of their learning. And so if they feel comfortable with things like negative and positive integers, how to add negative and positive numbers, if they understand the coordinate plane, how to put ordered pairs on it, that goes a long ways. And I often play a game of Battleship just to help my students get real comfortable with placing a point on a coordinate plane. You know, instead of the square, you do the coordinate where they intersect. And then order of operations is a big deal. Fractions, they need to know how to do fractions. It's so easy to just use a calculator or do, you know, convert something to decimals and use calculators. You have to just steel yourself against allowing them to do that. They need to know how to work fractions. They need to know how to add and subtract with denominators that aren't the same, how to convert that, how to make one into whatever denominator it is. For example, if you have 3 1/3 minus 1, let me go 1 minus 1/3. It would be great if they would look at that and say that's 2/3, but they need to be able to manipulate that 1 and say 3 over 3 is the same as 1, and now I can subtract 1/3 from that. They need to know maybe some simple algebra, one-step and two-step equations and how to do that. And some of the resources, you can actually, there's a number of places where your child can be analyzed for free that are online. For example, Prodigy has a free assessment that tells you what level your student is at, and that app is free. Khan Academy has it. Edmodo has it. There are so many free applications where you can test your child and see where they're at. And then Khan Academy has a great free math program where you can just help them catch up using that. So that is the advice I have for a seventh grader going into eighth grade. Questions parents ask. So today it comes from Bethany and she says, hi, I'm a homeschooling mom. That means she's just begun homeschooling. But the Lord laid homeschooling on my heart many years ago, so I'm grateful for this gift and I hope to continue it full time. My question is about Bible time. I want to implement daily time for Bible studies and or verse memorization, but I don't know where to start. Is there some kind of outline? She doesn't tell me, though, what age her children are in. I do have on my Pinterest site Grace Links. It's in the Bible and Curriculum board, and it's a free thing. That might help you. I always say use the Bible and start with the Bible stories. They're so wonderful. You can pick a verse out of any story, and each week they have to memorize that verse. They can role play the Bible story. They can do a craft based on the Bible story. They can color a picture on the Bible story. Older students can do, compare and contrast different Bible characters to each other. They can cross-reference in the Bible. It's very important for children to learn how the Bible works. So some basic things are learning the books of the Bible, learning how to find the Bible chapter and verse. And I just start out with first learning maybe the Old Testament books and then learning the New Testament books, at least where to find them and how do you look in the table of contents, if nothing else, and then play sword drills. We do memory verse ping pong, which is a fun way to memorize a memory verse. And I've run out of time in this section to talk any more about it, but Bible really is one of the most free ways of learning. You can learn so much, and you just pray for the Holy Spirit to be with you. Make sure you sing too. It's a worshipful praise time, and you can have such sweet memories from that time. And that's my advice. So in the second half of our show, we're going to do part two of an interview that I had with Jana Scott. And we're talking about standing on the wall, prayers to preserve the integrity of the nation. And I just know you're going to want to come back because we'll hear from her, and we do want to preserve this nation. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Why do we die?
Death is the result of sin. Everything that sins dies, just as God warned in Eden. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, he told Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. But you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. They ate, they died. That disobedience opened the door to Satan. Today we live where death stalks the homes of the richest to the poorest. Even people who live good lives, who wouldn't think of hurting anyone, pass away. Why? Because of sin. Oh, and don't go blaming Adam and Eve too much. Do you always resist temptation? Are you living a sinless life? No? Well, welcome to the club. We all make mistakes. We all blow it. We all sin. And we all will die. Maybe. Someday soon, Jesus will break death's hold on this earth. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4.
I say, hurry, Jesus. Come back soon.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Here's Dr. Rose Gamblin with a Mind Matter Minute.
I wish there was a vaccination against depression, mainly because I see how depression affects children. antidepressant medications are increasingly being prescribed for them. Can you believe that? It's estimated that at least 4% of preschoolers are clinically depressed, and that's about 1 million little children. And the rate of increase for school-age children is even more alarming at 23%. It's as if our children are catching a depression virus. I'd say the best way to prevent depression in your child is to make sure you aren't depressed. Remember, your state of mind matters.
Mind Matter Minute is brought to you by MRG Media Ministry. For more information on topics about learning, go to mrgmediaministry.com. That's mrgmediaministry.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Jana Scott, and we're talking about her passion, Standing on the Wall, a series of books, one that is for pastors and faith leaders, prayers that they can pray for the nation, one for people like you and I that we can pray for the nation, and then she also has a third one that statesmen can pray for the nation. Welcome to our show, Jana.
Thank you.
So let's first talk about the statesmen. So is this a book that is you gain funds and people can send to their congressmen and or you give them to the congressmen and to the senators? And how does that work for the Statesman edition?
Right now we have distributed 50 of the 435 in the House and 100 in the Senate. So 535 statesmen, we've distributed 50 of them based on personal funds, donations, and what have you. We will not sell the book to our nation's leaders. We want to make it a gift to them.
So you need sponsors.
That would be wonderful. If people are willing and interested in sponsoring a book for their own statesmen or for statesmen in other states, we would be more than happy and blessed to receive that.
Now, do you have it set up on your website where they can go there, or do they have to email you?
On the website, they can purchase the book, but they could also email me personally, Jana S5. At AOL.com. That's JANNAH, S as in Sam, the number 5, at AOL.com. As we've just come out with this,
yes.
I don't know if the publisher has a donate button just for that piece, but I'm going to ask her to put one on since you said that.
Yeah, that would be, that'd make it easy,
yes,
for people who
easy.
Wanted to do that.
Yes.
You can also go through me, MRG Media Ministries. I'm 501c3, so I can give you a tax-deductible donation.
That would be great.
And we really do believe that it's only by God's grace that our nation is still, that we still experience as many freedoms that as we do.
Yes.
And we can see it being eroded all of the time.
Yes.
So that's the one that is for the statesmen. And then let's talk about the one that's for pastors and faith leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And as there's more of a push, I mean, I really see the push even here and at the NRB that when I'm interviewing people, that the Christian community is saying we need to be organized. We need to be more organized. The counterpart is very organized, you know, all the different movements. They're very organized. We need to be organized as well. Probably one of the best things we could do is get everyone praying,
yes,
for our nation. So the Pastors and Faith Leaders edition, what is the difference between this one as opposed to the statesmen?
So the statesmen are praying for themselves as leaders, and they're praying for other leaders. The pastors are praying for leaders who are in elected or appointed positions, but there is a prayer in the pastor's book that is specifically about uniting the body of Christ, the leaders in the body of Christ. Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer in John 17, where he said, "Oh, that they would be one,
yes,
even you, Father, and I are one, I and you, and
yes,
you and me, so that the world may know." that you sent me. The world will know that the Christian has been sent to do the work of the Lord when we come in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, unfortunately, if you look across, and even Paul told us to avoid these divisions in the book of Romans, he said, avoid these divisions. We have so many denominations, so many different houses, you know, and so many different doctrinal beliefs. But mm-hmm. if we can unite around the words and the life of Jesus and walk his kingdom path in the earth, then the world will know. And we
yes.
will be organized,
yes.
and we will be powerful, and we will transform this world for Christ.
And one of the things that a parishioner could do is to buy this Standing on the Wall, the Pastors and Faith Leaders edition, and just make sure that their pastor has it, maybe their elders, however their church is organized, that they have this book.
Mm-hmm. That would be wonderful.
You know, and right now I know this is so new and so hot off the press, but you can go to her email address, janas5@aol.com, or you can go to fiestapublishing.com. That's the website where you can get the book. And so the third portion then is the People's Edition. This would be like for me. And the difference is I'm now praying for my local pastor and leaders. And I'm
you're
also
praying for the nation.
I'm praying for the nation.
Yes.
Yes.
Because God wants us all to be ministers. As he said in Hebrews, we are all ministers of the flame of fire. And I see prayer and intercession as a flame of fire. And even in the Old Testament times when they told the priest, never let the fire go out, we are all part of that priesthood now.
Yes.
And our prayers, our intercession, keeps the fire of the Lord's will for our nation burning.
At no other time. I think it's so critical. I feel like the earth is in the last throes of history. And we have the virus, we have global technology attacks and literal attacks and virtual attacks. I think there's no time as the present that this is such a great ministry.
One of the things you said to that, I just want to share that these things are not surprising to
yes.
us as believers. But there's a passage in Romans 8 where Paul tells the church that the earth is groaning mm-hmm. in anticipation for the manifestation of the sons of God, sons being the people of God. And our manifestation will come through the prayers. There's power in the prayers that we speak. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So if there were ever a time for the people of God to manifest in prayer, it is now, because the earth is groaning.
Right, and we are looking for the latter rain. It will only come through prayer.
Yes.
It's there, you know. God at one point may be pulling back his spirit, but for the Christian, he's ready to pour that latter rain of power and peace in a very turbulent time, and it's through prayer.
Yes.
I can't help but think this is just for such a time as this. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you.
One last thing to say, and that is God bless.
God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.